involvement with that committee, and occasionally a profile or something different. I will be referring to briefly to a couple of the articles that appeared this year in the BC, specifically to prepare you for this workshop. We really wanted to do this as a beginning step, just to encourage more writing, and so I was hoping that you would have some food for thought before you got here. The first time I ever wrote an article for the BC, if any of you have been around long enough to remember John Lopez, it was actually John, I have to give credit for saying I had taken a trip to Europe, and he encouraged me to write an article about it. I never would have thought of doing that if it hadn't been for him. So, I think we're ready to begin. Oh, thank you, Roger. Yeah, our committee, along with a great deal of support and technical support from Publications Committee, wrote the Seniors with Vision Loss brochure that's been around for several years now, Failing Sight and the Family Plight, which are still available, if not at bookstores, at the CCB office for you to help distribute.
In English, Spanish, and Chinese.
Yes, English, Spanish, and Chinese.
That's something.
It really is something. It's wonderful.
I did the logo.
Oh,
yeah.
You do the logo. Wonderful. That's right. And a cool logo it is, Jeannie. Thank you for that.
And I thought it really spoke to the cause.
Yes, it did speak to the cause. Wonderful. Well, Kathy's going to facilitate our first little part here where we get to know who you are.
And so what we'd like to do is have you say your name and then to answer this question on a scale of 1 to 10. What rate your experience and interest in writing? So 10 being you have a passion, a desire, you love writing would be how you'd rate as a number 10. If you're neutral about writing, you like it, you could go with it or without it, then it'd be about a 5. And if you don't really like writing, but you're here because you know that it's important and you want to grow and learn, that would be a 1. So if we can begin in the first corner, and I'd like to just also double check as we begin the introductions so that we make sure everybody hears the name. We'll have the people introduce themselves. So I've been told that the microphone should be able to pick up names, but I might be repeating it just in case as well. So we'll start over here in the corner with Jeannie. So if you can say your name, your chapter you're from, and then the rating of the scale of the experience and the interest you have in writing.
My name is Jean Ackerman, and I'm with the San Mateo Council of the Blind, and my basic thing for writing was journaling. I love to write journals.
Okay. And how would you rate yourself from a scale of 1 to 10?
I would rate myself probably an 8.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you, Dean. Mike?
I am Mike Heathley. I'm from the Silicon Valley Council of the Blind and the VC editor. And I would put my writing as sort of general purpose, but I like to write, so I would call it a 7.
Great, thank you. Okay, in the second row.
That's amazing.
Roger?
Roger Peterson. I never thought of myself as a writer, but I seem to be doing a lot of it. I'm the editor of our chapter's newsletter, which a lot of people say they like. And so I guess I'm a 6 or something like that.
Okay, thank you. Bernice?
My name is Bernice Kandarian. I'm from the Silicon Valley Council of the Blind. I'm chair of the Publications Committee for CCB. And I think that I need to answer your question in two ways. One is I have a real interest in writing. It's probably a 9, but my ability to write is somewhat less. maybe a 5.
Okay, thank you.
Is that Bob back there?
I'm not a
Bob. Oh, Bob. Oh, yeah, okay. Bob might be going in and out, so okay. He says he'll be very quiet.
Yeah, it's too bad that there are not more people here, but hopefully we will make it a meaningful session for us, and hopefully then people will be coming in as we proceed through the process. And so, Bob, maybe if you see people walking in, you could help them have a seat and get into the rhythm with us.
Well, we'll just get started. That was interesting, and maybe others will come in. We're doing this for us, and that's okay, too. Yes, did you want to say something? Looks like you did.
At this point, Bonnie is going to be talking about why we're here today, and then also talking about how and what things that can be written about.
Okay. Yes, those of us that are here, I think we know these things. This is a reminder and sort of a mindset that I'm hoping to have us on the same page. People who can write have power, the power to do positive things. Those who can write can cause people to think or feel a specific emotion. They can cause people to take action, maybe best of all. Yes, knowledge is power. There are many ways to have power for good. Being able to write well is one of them. This workshop is about writing, the craft of writing. Writing sure can help us personally. And I didn't even mention all the ways in which it's helped me personally at work. There was an aside. And most of us can attest to that. But what we're here to focus on today is how much writing can specifically help CCB in our wonderful work that we do. In order to do its important work of helping ourselves and helping others, one thing CCB needs is many good writers, and you are some of them. If you get nothing else out of this workshop today, I hope you will get this. You have something important to say, many important things to say, that people could benefit from reading. You say those things to a wider world and in a more lasting way when you write. Now, just as a little example, you may think that you're sitting here in an air-conditioned meeting room at a hotel, but let me just for a minute transport you somewhere else. And perhaps our trip will be a little shorter than I had planned, but nonetheless, listen and picture in your mind. You're walking on a beach. You're with friends. It's mid-morning there, too. You're walking with your cane or perhaps your guide dog. Under your feet, you notice the sand. It's cool because it's still mid-morning. It's packed down because you're near the surf. It feels much different than it does walking on the sidewalk. You hear the surf close by. It's loud, rhythmic, sparkling. Oh, it sounds so relaxing. You hear children playing, too. Oh, they're so happy, carefree. It kind of takes you back to your childhood. And you notice the seagulls that you hear, and maybe you see them. They're spinning around, chattering to each other, maybe looking for lunch. Seagulls are always looking for lunch, let me tell you. You feel the sun. Because it's mid-morning, it's mostly overcast, but the sun is increasingly insistently touching your face. And the breeze touches your cheek as well. And it's a nice, reassuring, pleasant touch that reminds you of exactly of where you are. As you walk, the sand has resistance, and you note how different it is from the sidewalks that you usually walk on, unless, of course, you happen to live at the beach. You smell the sea air. Don't need to really describe that unless you've never been there. I couldn't do it. Maybe you're talking with your friends as you're walking, or maybe you're just sharing a nice little break on the beach. Oh, I really hate to come back, but we must. It's going to be 100 degrees in most of Los Angeles today, not around here, but believe me, a lot of people will be wanting to go to the beach today. Now, that was just a really simple experience a lot of people have had, but there are different ways to look at that experience. It could be considered a bonding experience, something you do with friends just to pass the time, but it is a bonding kind of thing. You could look at that same little scenario as a community integration experience. Here you are, a person who's blind or has low vision, walking on the beach with friends just like everyone else, but you might be enjoying it differently in some ways than they do. So that's community integration, and that might be the way you'd write about it if you chose to. Or it's just a plain old resting, relaxing experience. And even that can be of use to write it down so that you can go there in your mind by reading it, if not actually physically. Now, I'm going to segue directly from that segment, which was really about why it's so cool to write and why it's worth cultivating your abilities. I'm going to segue to what will be obvious to you, that you have something important to say. Writing something and seeing it in print is a kick. It's such a rush. Well, however you want to describe it, excuse me, it's really cool. Writing does good for others and for ourselves. Our goal today is to convince you that you have something important to say. Probably many useful, interesting, important things to say. Once you believe that, the rest is quite easy. So if getting your message from brain to paper is too much of a barrier, we can help you. Today is one way we are helping you and helping CCB by reaching out for a wider variety of articles for our wonderful magazine, the BC, otherwise known as the Blind Californian, we all know. There are many other opportunities to write, which I mentioned in my articles, as I said earlier, just to get you thinking. Just some examples of that are your local agency for the blind. You might write a little column or a perspective, or you might write about CCB if they'll let you. Other places to write are your house of worship or some community group that you belong to, or a newsletter for your homeowners association, or, of course, your chapter newsletter. Our focus today, though, is to start with things suitable for our quarterly magazine, The Blind Californian. So what do you have to say? Well, things too numerous to mention. These are just some examples to get you thinking, and more to the point, feeling the impact you could have. Your experiences, instructive, entertaining experiences you've had. I listed some of them in the BC, so you could be thinking ahead. Can you relate to any of these scenarios? The kinds of experiences you remember and enjoy recounting to others. And I've just had a glitch and took two pieces of paper, so I'm rectifying that. Imagine for a minute what it was like back then, or not so long ago, when you started school or you went to college. As a person who is blind or has low vision, you had a positive experience there, getting oriented to the campus, working things out or negotiating with your professors, or establishing yourself there socially. Whether that happened recently or a long time ago, you probably have some helpful tips to share on how you did that. If you found ways to hang in there through the initial tough adjustment period, that could be also very useful information to students coming up or their concerned families or teachers. Remember, all kinds of people read the BC, not just us CCB members. Others are often perusing the literature, trying to find practical information to assist their clients or their friends or loved ones. They want to help in helping them with their life challenges as a person with vision loss. Of course, we have had other experiences, all kinds of experiences in life. Your story of dealing with workplace issues is another fertile example, let me tell you. Again, imagine what it was like for you at work. That could be instructive, entertaining, or demonstrate your coping skills. Maybe the slant was on how you employed assistive technology on your job, or how your coworkers or your boss reacted, or how you overcame any roadblocks to getting the type of equipment you needed. Of even more interest might be the social aspect of your job, the types of people skills you needed to employ in order to be the most effective on the job. We all love to hear someone else's job stories because we can usually learn something from them that will help us, whether the story had a happy ending or whether a lesson was learned. Excuse me. Yes, your work experience may have happened a long time ago, or not. Technology might have changed totally since then, and maybe you haven't even thought about those events, let alone how you felt about them, in quite a while. But they could be valuable to others traveling down the same path. They could be as valuable to them as something that happened more recently. Why not give it some thought and see if you don't have a good yarn to pass along? Work and school are always fun things to relate to because we can almost all reminisce about them. But let me put in a plug for things that may be of concern to seniors, or let's say anyone over the age of 50 or 40. That could be most of the people in this room, I'll wager. Most people enjoy hearing tales involving children. Maybe you developed an adaptive technique in babysitting or entertaining your grandchildren, and whether it was your grandchildren or someone else's children, maybe you developed some creative ways to help them understand that having vision loss isn't so bad and doesn't make you incapable. Those are always good stories. More suggestions that could apply to any age group. Here they are. How did you and your support system help to adjust to a time when you were no longer gainfully employed, whether that's because you retired or if you were in effect forced to stop working? Or the hobby you took up after you finally had the time for it. Yeah. Our experiences are good material, but something you know is another great writing topic. It might be your own adaptive technique around the house that you've developed. Maybe you think everyone knows about it, but maybe they don't. Or your adaptive skill in the garden or at the grocery store, or pursuing that hobby of yours. The possibilities are endless. To share your knowledge of the little things can add to our quality of life, and it can impress those especially sighted people with how clever we are. That can be really useful. Topics coming out of our many special interests, affiliates, and committees always make excellent topics. Now, we do have quite a few of these already, it's true, but there's some things we could even add, and this is where I wish we do had a wider audience. Our Multicultural Concerns Committee, if we had some AMC-type subjects, it could do a lot of good. Another example is how people use Braille on the job, or stories about seniors or students living as role models or with interesting, rewarding lives. We already have examples of this in our columns such as Tech Talk, our Career Connections articles, and, of course, our Out of the Doghouse series. Keep those articles coming, please. Well, you get the idea. I'm going to end this portion with one more suggestion, because we don't see it much and it has lots of applications. It could be how we relate to an experience, a fun experience, or a thing people like to do as a person who has vision loss. Three examples are travel. We've had some of those travel articles, how you enjoy those as a person with vision loss. How do you enjoy a sunset? That could make a really interesting article, regardless of whether you see something or you don't. Same thing with going to the movies with friends. And that may be with or without video description as part of your discussion of that. For the last thing, just to get us there again, we're going to go out the door one more time, back to a place hopefully some of you have been, and just think about this. You're not here in the hotel, but you're sitting outdoors on a deck, one of those lovely outdoor decks, with some friends, with a glass of wine in your hand, or if you're not an alcohol drinker, your other favorite drink. Maybe Mozart's playing in the background, or jazz, like we have right now. What kind of table and chair are you sitting at? What do you experience? What do you focus on? Now, that's a pleasant experience, and there are a lot of ways to approach even something that simple. I hope this gives you just some food for thought, and now it's going to be your turn as Kathy segues us into the next part.
What we'd like for you to do now is to pair up with somebody. And so at the table, pair up with another person, and this is going to be a pair-share experience. What we'd like for you to do is to share an idea that you have in your mind right now that you think you'd like to write about. It could be one of the interesting topics that Bonnie suggested. It could be an experience, a descriptive experience. It could be a storytelling experience, or it could be something informational and educational to share. So if you can pair up, and we'll give you a couple minutes to begin kind of crystallizing those ideas. And I'd like for each person to take a minute or two to share their idea.
Okay, I think we're going to have to stop. I truly hate to stop this. I am really happy to hear, though I couldn't follow everyone's discussion naturally. Yes, I was eavesdropping, but some really good discussion. Yeah, this is what we hope for, actually. So, and believe me, the more interactive my little 15 minutes, that's as much whatever as you're going to get of that sort of thing. It's bless you.
Thank you.
Interactive from here on. We have a number of people who came in the room, and we're very glad to have you. We know this was a tough time of day to be offering this, so we're glad that you're here. And I wonder if those let's see, before that we had Mike Keithley, Jeannie Ackerman, Bernice and Roger are here, and I hope I didn't leave, Kathy and Bonnie are here. Could we find out who else is here?
Monique McCorley.
Jacqueline
Jackson.
Don Pomerantz.
Great. Wonderful. Warm. All right. Will Scott be contributing an article to the BCE shortly?
Yeah.
You never know.
He should on retirement. Mitch is getting ready to retire.
Oh. Now that's, there you go. There's an article. Well, we've already talked about that you have important things to say. We listed a lot of them just to get you thinking. We talked about how fun it is to write, how rewarding, and in so many ways, but particularly for the BC. The articles that some of you may have seen, I wrote two of them earlier in the BC this year because we were going to have the workshop. So if you happen to read those, then you didn't miss too much. So we're going to move along with our outline here of our workshop so that we get everything done by noon, as we're obligated to. And the next thing,
what we want to talk about is the different settings and the different ways that people write. There's a variety of ways and settings that people feel comfortable in. There's no right or wrong way to do this, but I'd like to share with you some ideas in terms of the different ways and then how we're going to approach it today. In the terms of the different settings that people write in, they can sit down at their favorite chair and begin writing, and they feel comfortable, and ideas start flowing. Some others may need to sit down with a coffee from a coffee shop and be in the midst of people, and then ideas start coming, and they start jotting down ideas and writing. Or somebody may need to be in a natural setting, such as the beach or the mountains, and ideas will flow, and they'll begin writing in that way. Today, being here in a hotel conference room may seem a little artificial for you in terms of those flowing ideas and juices, but what we'd like for you to do is to let that go and to trust this process. You came up with some good ideas in your pair share, and we like to build upon those ideas. And then when you go home, what I'd like for you to think about is, where do you feel the most comfortable, and where do you feel that your ideas flow from the best when you start writing? For example, I do well in terms of thinking about concepts as I'm sitting on the bus, riding into work, or in the mountains, and I'll come up with ideas and concepts, and then I'll sit down at my computer at home and draft something. I'll start typing and brainstorming, and I won't worry about does it make sense or not, and then I'll let it sit there for a couple days, and I'll go back and I'll review that draft or outline, and I'll add to it, and I find that I do much richer writing in that respect for myself than if I were to sit down and force myself to write out the whole article or report or what have you all at one time. So there's different styles and different settings. Some people will begin the writing process by taking a concept and just brainstorming and starting to write. Others might say, I need the title, and from the title I'm going to develop the whole story. So there's different approaches in terms of the writing, the process itself. And what I'd like for you to think about is, what's your preferred writing process style? So are you the type that you will need to create an outline? You need to be able to have the beginning and go all the way through to the end? Or are you the type that thinks of concepts, write down concepts, and then build around that? Today, however, due to the nature of this workshop and the time that we have, I'd like for us to do it a little bit more outline and focused oriented, so that we can hopefully by the end of this session have some journals or nuggets to walk away with in terms of our workshop. So what I'd like for us to do is to begin with our ideas that we've just discussed in the pair share, is to take a moment and write down a phrase that captures that idea. So I'd like you to take a minute to write down that idea that you had in terms of what you'd like to write about. Once you have that idea in mind and you've written that down, that concept, it doesn't have to necessarily make sense. It could be a couple of words. What I'd like for us to do now is to talk about the different steps or stages in writing an article, the different components of that article, which would include the title, the opening, the concepts of that article, the ideas that support those concepts, and the conclusion. And what I will be doing is walking through those different areas. One of the important things for us to think about when writing and writing, you know, and having this idea of what we want to write about and how we frame our article, and I'm going to be using the term article in a very general sense, and since we're the publications committee, the idea is you'll be able to have an article to be able to be produced in a newsletter or so forth. So you can translate article to a document or some or a journal or a book, what have you, but today I'm going to use the word article throughout. So in thinking about your idea, your concept, an important piece is to think about what's the purpose of that, of writing that article. What is it that you want to convey in your message? Is it that you want to persuade people to do something? Is it that you want to educate people about a cause, about experience? Or do you want to entertain people with a story? Please think about and pick one of those areas. Or it can be a combination. You want to educate and you want to call people to action. Or you want to have a story, you know, create a story and entertain people. So identify that for yourself based upon your idea or your concept that you've come up with. What I'd like for you to think about now, and I'm going to, you know, as I mentioned, talk about the outline process here, is the title. Do you have a title for the, you know, for this article? If you do, great. Go ahead and write it down. If you don't have a title, don't worry about that. That's okay. I'm one, when I write, I don't come up with a title until after I'm done writing. So you can go ahead and skip it, or you can write down a couple of ideas. So, for example, if I were to be writing things down today, I will also, in walking through this, give you some ideas. So my topic would be, I just completed the Nike Women's Marathon, so I walked 26.2 miles. And what I'd like to do in writing the article is I'd like to inspire others to participate and help save lives. So it was a fundraiser for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, as well as the benefits of exercising. My title, while I don't have a title, I think that I'd like to talk about it from the standpoint of something like walking to save lives. So I don't know if that's going to be my title or not, but that would be an idea I'd have. In terms, you know, as we move along, the purpose of my writing would be, as I said, to inspire others to call for action. And now for the opening. Is everybody with me on this so far? Yeah? Okay. So for the opening is a critical piece. The two things that will draw people to reading an article or wanting to read it further are the title and the opening. The title is key because as you're skimming through a table of contents, you either say, yeah, that sounds interesting, I want to learn more about it, or maybe not so much, my area. But you also want a descriptive title that has meaning to what you're writing about. Sometimes titles are very vague, and the more descriptive you can be, then the more likely people are going to want to read and begin reading that opening. When they get to the opening, they want to be catched. You want to have a message or a question or something for them to have a thinking of, oh my gosh, I need to read this more. And so my opening for my article would be how you can save lives in 6 hours and 30 minutes. Does that make you want to read more? Does that make you question, well, why does she say 6 hours and 30 minutes? Yeah. So I'd like for you to think about an opening for yourself. What's an opening that will draw your audience in? It can be a question, as mine is, or it can be a statement that might seem outrageous. It could be a thought in terms of an area of interest. It could be a descriptive beginning of a storytelling about an adventure. You know, the wild and crazy ride through the jungle. Something that will attract people. So I'm going to give you a minute or two to think about what's an opening that you can say in one or two sentences that will grasp people's attention to want to read more. Does anyone have an idea of an opening that they'd like to share?
What if you wrote down something before and you just can't connect with it?
Ah, very good question. What if you wrote down something before, you know, before as an idea, and now you're not just not connecting with it? That is, you know, something that many writers go through. And I think that's a very good question. A couple of ideas would be, one, you don't have to have your opening right away. So if something's not coming to you at this moment, that's okay too. However, if you wrote down something before and you can take an idea from that. So if you don't mind, can we go with your example for a bit, Jean?
Sure. I was thinking of what I was talking with Mike about. Uh-huh. Was sipping wine with friends across the neighborhood. You know, they were right next door or across the street.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm with the concept that how this can make lasting communications with people and long-lasting memories.
Okay, great. So it's sipping wine with friends across the neighborhood.
Uh-huh. I could apply that concept to a lot of other things, and I'd like to change the title, my title, and not do that. And just stick with the concept of how we can make long-lasting communications with people and long-lasting memories.
Maybe you shouldn't set a title here.
Huh?
Maybe you shouldn't set a title here.
That's fine. You don't have to set a, you don't have to create a title yet, and you can always change that title if you have one. So what I hear Jean talking about, and this is a great example when writing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we feel that we come up with an idea and then we're forced to go continue along those lines. Don't do it. If it's not coming to you, don't do it. But what I heard Jean talk about is she had one idea where she started off talking about sipping wine with friends, you know, across the neighborhood, and how that helps with communication and developing relationships and memories. Now, what she's also now said is, you know, thinking about it, I really want to focus on developing that communication and those relationships and memories, correct? Why not make the wine tasting piece of it, which you started off thinking about, as one of your supporting ideas? So now you're inverting what you're beginning with, and you actually have developed more of your theme. So you know, your purpose or your theme, main concept, is still part of what your original idea was about this communication and memories, but we can change it so that what your original idea was now becomes another, a different aspect of the article. Does that make sense to people?
Yes, I've got it.
Okay.
I just changed it in my head. I've got it.
And now you feel the connection.
Yeah.
Okay. Think of another way besides sipping wine.
Well, in the square in Redwood City, they have concerts. And I went with blind friends and members of the CCB, or SMCB, my chapter, mm-hmm. to it. And we just had a great time. We have little things to eat. I brought wine glasses. We just had a great time. We went to every single one and just enjoyed the heck out of it.
Great. And so that sounds like a great article to write about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any other ideas for the opening?
I have one.
Okay, Mike.
Blindness that is unimportant to spiritual existence.
Okay, and so people who value religion and spirituality would find this topic interesting because it's talking about their faith, which is important to them. Somebody who's in the member of the blindness community might find this interesting because it has to do with something they're personally experiencing. So that's great. Once we have the opening, we then want to build upon the we want to actually, in that opening statement, we want to, you know, grab people's attention, and then we want to provide a sentence sharing what the purpose of that article is. So that's all part of your opening. And, you know, you can modify that so that it flows and setting people up for understanding what you're going to be talking about as you go along. The next section has to do with developing the supporting information for your purpose and concept that you're writing about. So in doing that, we'll go back to when we were growing up in elementary school, we learned about, you know, creating an opening, developing, you know, a purpose, and then coming up with three supporting ideas, right? Well, my thinking, that's kind of how I write as well. I think of what are the three supporting pieces of information that I want to provide or share that will educate or inspire or provide some credibility to my topic. And it can be three, it could be five, whatever number, keeping it short, you know, but to 3 to 5 would be a good idea. So, for example, in my article about walking the Nike Marathon, my three supporting concepts have to do with the idea of the purpose of challenging myself to be able to walk 26.2 miles. So that would be the first piece that I would talk about, that I, you know, challenged myself physically and mentally to be able to do that. My second supporting concept would be the value of participating as a member of Team in Training, which is fundraising arm of the Leukemia Lymphoma Society, where we raised $18 million for the cause of blood-related cancers. The third concept would be how the experience was meaningful in my life, and it made a difference in terms of how I am viewing, based upon those lives I've touched and been touched by cancer patients and survivors, and the aspects of that. So now I've given you, know, I've provided ideas, three ideas of how I've taken the concept and would build the article around that. Now, if you're writing a story, a descriptive story about your experiences, I'd encourage you to maybe think about it in terms of three chapters. So it could be the chapter about, you know, leading up to the event, or the building of the experience, and then the actual experience itself, and then what was the reflection or the aha moments that you had during that experience that made a difference to you. Does this make sense in terms of the concepts? Supporting the concepts?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So I'd like for you to take a couple of minutes, and I'd like for you to jot down those ideas. What are the three to five supporting ideas you have for the concept that you're writing about? And even if you think it sounds silly at this point in time, write it down. Because what I found from my personal experience in writing is that sometimes we write down the silly things or the things that we, you know, that just come to our mind. And then, as I said, when I go back to look at it a day or two later, I don't like it and I erase it, but something else comes to mind that's even better. So this is a jumping off point. And today is just getting those ideas out there. We're not going to have you commit to any of this. So don't let that, you know, that fear, you know, make you fearful.
Can our ideas be kind of abstract and
sure?
Because mine kind of just became abstract from that point. They're not specific.
Sure. That's great. If you have abstract ideas, it's okay. Write it down. The key here is really writing it down. Once you write it down and then you can go back and read it for yourself, your brain will actually cognitively will be able to either say, yes, I like this, let's go forward with this more, or your brain cognitively will say, maybe not, you know, but hopefully it will help generate and spark some new ideas. So it can be abstract, it could be specific, it could be a phrase, or it could be a word.
Okay, if I could maybe add a little something in that vein. It's true, even though writing is so individual and the way we get ideas and all that is just so unique and different from one person or different. Sometimes I do it one way, sometimes another. Often what happens is you have an experience or you know about something that makes an impression. Maybe it makes you angry, an injustice was done. Maybe something really funny happened. Maybe, like Jeannie related earlier, you have a thought and it leads to a concept of you know, sharing and building memories and bonding and all of that. Whatever it is, something motivates you or hits you that you care enough about to put down. And maybe at the time you do it, you have no idea in the world what you want to do with it. And just by putting it down, if something happens to you or hits your awareness, sometimes I've done things that I've heard on the news or human interest stories or something happened to a friend, I had a good friend who moved away to Portland after hemming and hawing about it for years. And she just moved. And, of course, I'm sad and all of that. But it motivated me to write a little piece about what I perceived her experience to be, because it made an impression on me. It didn't happen to me. I cared about it. And I'll tell you, there was an incubation period. That's the other thing I wanted. If you just do write it down, something that's important to you, and you feel like, after a while, you kind of get the hang of, I think I'd like to write about this sometime. But you may have no clue what you want to do with it at the time you think of it. If you put it down, I've started developing a little writing ideas list that I did that when my friend finally decided she was going to move away. It took me a while to get back to it because I wasn't ready to do it. And that's really more the point. If you like communicating, maybe writing isn't that easy for you, but you really like to communicate, then you probably will end up finding your own way to do this. Maybe you talk into a tape recorder. There's endless ways of doing it. But if you got something to say, it might help someone else, might help you. So you'll probably find a way that works. And it won't always be the same way every time.
That's actually a topic in itself. The effect of the media on the message. I've always found that it's difficult to write, because when I learned to write, I had to type my compositions on the typewriter. And I couldn't change anything. I couldn't go back.
Yep, I'm with you.
So I started. I got into a habit of writing something, having it all in my head from beginning to end, and not being able to write the last part and then go back and write the first part. And I think that the fact that as white people, a lot of us don't have a good read-write method affects our ability to write effectively.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Whether you're dictating to a tape recorder, whether you're doing a brailler and you have to use the crumple and toss books to phone you just don't have the same kind of read-write capability that a sighted person who can jot down things and cross them out to pass.
I had to learn to be willing to waste a lot of paper in that regard. Because I got two braille writers in the house now, and boy, has that been a boon. When I took my one from work home, it's helped me in that. And you're so right, Roger.
When I started writing my journals, I got composition books. You can't tear out a composition, you know. So if you start out and it doesn't flow, well, it just stays there. You turn the page and you do it again.
And there are people who, you know, really enjoy journaling, and then there are people who don't like journaling. So that's another example of where it has to do with the individual, individual interest and personality and passion. And the different methods that we use, as Roger was saying, also probably impacts our writing ability as well. And so I think that sometimes we also think we don't have anything to write about. And and I was thinking in the preparation of today, I was thinking, gosh, I don't have anything to write about. And and then it occurred to me, well, okay, what have I done recently that might be of interest? And I thought, well, gosh, I guess I could probably, talk about the marathon, because it's something that was new and different for me. And so I think that part of it is for us to realize that we have, as Bonnie was saying, we have experiences in our life, and we may think that they're just ordinary, normal day experiences, or what have you, or may think, that was the experience for me, that was important to me, but I don't think it will be important to anybody else. In reality, it could be meaningful to somebody else, and at least interesting and entertaining to them, if not having that level of importance it does in your life. So part of it is what's important to you, and then writing about it from the standpoint of why it's important to you, and that can help inspire others as well. Louis, do you have an idea and some concepts? Those supporting ideas?
I have a process here. If it's somebody can read it, it would help me. I discovered that by the time I got to the journals, I didn't remember what I'd written for the first
one. Ah.
Now, part of that is because when I write, I sit down and I go into Word and I start writing.
And a computer Word.
And a computer Word.
Okay.
I started writing an article, and since I've been here, I've changed the title of the article. But when I first started writing, I couldn't think of what I was going to call it, and so I simply used the date, October 19th, 2008. That was the title of the article.
Okay.
And then I began to think about what I was talking about, and I changed it to the chairs. The chairs.
Okay.
And it didn't seem as though that was creative, stimulating, or attractive enough. And so since I've been here, I've changed the article to the magic chairs.
Mm. Very good.
Now I'm curious about what that article will be about.
The magic chairs. Huh? What did I put on number one?
Number one, you put, and I'm trying to read it, so help me out if I get it wrong.
Okay. I am pretty good at this.
Change is...
Change is challenging.
It sounds like you have a real conceptual idea of your chairs, and you're using your chairs, it sounds like you'll physically describe them, but you're also using them as metaphors to support the idea of change and the recognition of feelings that they help create for people. And then also what I like about your concept and your idea of writing the article is not only for, you know, for example, with the BC publication, but then also for your church newsletter, you know, archives and newsletter. And so this is a great example of how your article can be multi-purposed. And you may, you know, want to use the same article and, you know, and just reproduce it, you know, or you may want to tweak it some depending on the audience that you're writing to. So that's a great example, though.
Sure is. When you said about the chairs, Lewis, a member sat in one and said, "I feel at home in this chair." That's a wonderful image. Mm-hmm. That's a great example of how we can.
I talked it out loud, but I never wrote it. But what would the chairs actually say about some of the people that are sitting in?
Oh, now there's a
sequel.
Now
you might get into trouble.
Sounds like a novel, Lewis.
That could be a really great humor story.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to emphasize what Lewis has shared about this. As we talked in the beginning about how much good writing can do. Writing is one of those things, you know, I wish I could draw pretty pictures. I wish I could communicate with people that way. Happens I can't. And I don't know if I can write so well, but, you know, a lot of us can write. And we don't have to be the world's best writer. It's not about that. We're telling something, and we're passing it on. Think of the good that Lewis described in that story, that something like that could do for the members of his church and for the sense of history. And that's one example. There are so many. That's why we're here, because it's something to empower us to really develop the craft of doing it. It takes a while to do it. It's like any other skill. The more practiced we are, the more comfortable, the easier everything gets and the more fun it gets.
And I think that you also made a good point supporting what Roger was saying about, I wrote down three ideas, but I can't read the writing now. And, you know, and
read,
right, exactly.
Right.
And so so it sounds like your compensation for that or accommodation is that you actually typically write down the word processor, you know, on the computer. And I have found that too, as my vision's decreased, that I used to be able to write and see what I wrote. Now I can write. I nor nobody else can read it now. And so, you know, so I do. I use the PacMate. I use the computer, the word processing to write. Sometimes I will also tape record some ideas. And then I'll have those ideas, and I can replay those ideas. I'm not just the ideas, the three supporting things, the concepts or phrases or words. And then what I find is that when I sit down at the computer or wherever to do the writing, then I can go back and I can listen to it and go, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I had that idea. And so I think for us, sometimes it's coming up with some different strategies for being able to jot down those ideas that we have in terms of writing the article. And that's kind of the pre-writing stages of actually sitting down and writing. So I'm wondering, are there other people who have ideas of what strategies they use for that pre-writing stage? I'm sorry, Roger?
I said tapes are so.
You know what? I know, and I, you know, people at work, they're like, you know, iPods, MP3 players, Victor Streams, all of that. I use my tape recorder more than I use my Victor Stream. I'm probably the only person that has ever said that.
But
oh, good. I'm glad there's more than one.
That's three.
But the Victor Stream, it also has it. They also have those pocket recorders as well. So. Actually, and the other thing that I do sometimes, and, you know, this is a real, this could help with ideas for an article, is I'll leave myself voicemail messages. Mm-hmm. So I'll call myself,
yes.
You know, and leave a message. And then I'll save that message, and I can go back and listen to it again.
What
yes.
happens to me is mm-hmm. I find myself thinking about something I want to say for quite a while,
mm-hmm.
several days, just thinking about it,
mm-hmm.
just running around in the unconscious kind of. And so when I sit down in my real sense, and it just flows, kind of flows out.
Right.
It's not very concise. You know, that's in the second
phase.
That's in the second,
uh-huh.
second phase.
But you're getting your stream of consciousness out.
Kind of like that.
Yeah, which is great. And then do you, go, Mike, do you go back and do you edit from there?
Yeah.
Or what's the next step?
So then I listen to it with speech.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that it's almost like somebody else is reading it.
Ah. So it also hearing it back versus reading it back, either visually or through Braille, will, may give you a different experience to that when you're in terms of the brainstorming you've done. So, any other thoughts regarding this segment of the three state, you know, the kind of coming up with the three ideas that support your concept? Or shall we move on? Okay. Well, hearing none, we're going to move on to the, you know, the next part would be the conclusion. So in the conclusion, we want to wrap it all up. We want to be able to reemphasize what the purpose of the article is and what we want people to have gained from it. So if we want people to have been inspired or motivated, we want to be able to have a phrase or a sentence that will recapture that feeling that they want them to have. Or if we want to call for action, then we want to restate what that call is. And what you can do next for yourself is X. If we want to have, if we're writing a descriptive story, then we want to provide an overarching sense of that experience. And what I mean by that is being able to say it was a wonderful trip, or it was a wonderful opportunity for getting together, and this, you know, and my life is more richer because of it, or something like that. So being able to incorporate the whole idea of the article into one thought or sentence. I also like, if possible, to end with a very positive note, or a something that will be motivational or have people give more thought. So part of what I like to do and want to do is have people think about the article after they've read it. And so thinking about it from that standpoint, it's wrapping in the conclusion of the article, but then what's next, or what can they walk away with from that point? So I'd like for you to take a couple minutes and to write down what you think might be a conclusion to your article or ideas. Okay, Bernice, would you like to share your idea in terms of a conclusion?
I didn't get there.
Okay.
One of the things that I had wanted to write some years ago, uh-huh. 20 years ago, right after my mother died, I wanted to write about my mother's hands.
Hmm.
Because my mother, well, her whole family, were very good at doing things with her hands.
Hmm.
And I'm really sorry I didn't at the time. I've been thinking about it for some reason for the last week or so,
mm-hmm.
and how my feelings at that time probably are gone, you know, to a great extent, or not as strong as they were. But I guess what I, in terms of a conclusion about that, would be that as a role model.
Can I? What I'm hearing you say is that the hands, your mom's hands, really had made a meaningful difference in your life and others, and she did a lot of creating things. So maybe an idea would be around, you know, her hands created life, or something like that. And I think that it's great that you're thinking about that and you're trying to write about it now. And you know, while it was 20 years ago, I think what you might find is you're writing these things down today. If you put it aside and, you know, in a couple of days take a look at it again, I think you're probably going to be able to recall some things in a couple of days than you would be able to today, because I think your mind is going to, you know, subconsciously be working at that long-term recall. And so you might be surprised at what you remember in a couple of days. That's right. Jacqueline, how are you doing?
I guess I'm doing fine. I had difficulties also.
Okay.
Because I needed a laptop computer to come to this workshop.
Uh-huh.
I'm not able to write and read.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just been doing it in my head.
Okay.
So, my conclusion, I was writing about my experience with Dan in water aerobics class
mm-hmm.
at community college.
Okay.
My conclusion is something to the fact that the community college is a wonderful economical mm-hmm. and underutilized source
mm-hmm.
and, for exercise. And I took a class for the first time, and it wasn't adapted. It wasn't for accessibility or anything
uh-huh.
of that nature.
Right.
And the coach had never had a person with a visual disability in the course, but mm-hmm. I was received so wonderfully by mm-hmm. the coach and the students. And
mm-hmm.
it was a wonderful activity that I was able to do
mm-hmm.
and lose some weight and get exercise.
Great.
That would make a great article.
That would be a great article, not only for the BC, but then also for the community college.
Yes.
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 For $10.
Wow, that is great.
That's wonderful. Yeah. And I'm sure that, you know, in writing the article, that the community college would also find that as a very interesting personal experience piece that they probably would be interested in doing something with as well.
And it really reinforces them for the good thing they did.
Advocacy thing too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Every CC, I think, has a, you
And what would be neat in submitting these articles, you know, kind of the multi-purpose article, submit it to the Blind Californian first, and then submit it to the community college or the church, and it can say reprinted from the Blind Californian. And then it supports the Blind Californian and the, you know, from the California Council of the Blind. So that gets the word out about this organization to a whole multitude of other individuals that we may not otherwise. It, versus doing it the other way.
Sure. Oh, yeah, yes. There was an article about that in the last BC, too.
Okay. Well, hopefully, some of you, it sounds like you're on great tracks in terms of very interesting articles, and others of you may have had a little difficulty getting started or getting some idea, concepts down. That's okay. I hope that by hearing others, people's experiences today in this conversation, that might give you some ideas. And if nothing came to you, don't worry about it. What I'd encourage you to do is to maybe write down what, break down just some ideas. So it could be your travel here today, what that was that like, or a movie you've seen and what that had impact that had in your life, or something that begin writing down some ideas that might be articles, and then maybe talking with a friend about those ideas and saying, I had this experience, and I'm wondering if that might be a good article or not. So by just beginning to think in those short-term ideas, then I think it might come to you an idea that you do want to write about in the future. Hopefully you've gotten some ideas of how to write, of where to write, and what to write about. As I said, because of how we're structured in the workshop setting, this may not be the most flowing for you in terms of the process. So I'd like for you to think about and be flexible with adapting to fulfilling these different stages of the writing process: the title, the opening, the supporting ideas or concepts, and the conclusion. Those are the basics, but how you approach them can be very different. And it's okay to be very different. And it's also okay if you take this outline or these ideas, if you jot them down in a meaningful way, or you record it or what have you, and you go back in a day or two and you think, oh, that's rubbish. What was I thinking? It's okay too. Come up with another idea. Hopefully that will give spur you on to another idea and another thought. And we look forward to seeing an article from each of you in the Blind Californian. And Bonnie's going to be sharing with you some ideas of how that can become fruition. So you might be thinking, well, oh my gosh, I can't even fathom the idea. But it can happen. And Bonnie's going to share with you some ideas of how that can be approached.
Okay. I really just want to compliment or commend all of you who came. I have so been there where I was in a training or something where everyone was writing stuff down and I couldn't do it. Maybe my Slate and Styles was too noisy, whatever it was. And but you came anyway and you participated, and you're to be commended for that, when for some of you it was a hardship.
If I can also inject here, we also appreciate your honesty in terms of if you were having difficulties, because I think that helps all of us when we can share those experiences as well. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
And there is a payoff. If I could say one thing, now not everyone likes to write, but I imagine none of you would be here if you thought writing was sort of like taking castor oil or whatever they used to take. I don't know what they take now that would be equivalent. Anyway, there is a payoff for sticking with it in spite of all the hardships. Now, my little segment here is just some concrete things, because we wanted new articles. We love the old writers, the old, what I mean? Yeah, I wanted a reaction, and I got it. You're like the youngest one here, probably. So. Anyway, the veteran, the seasoned writers, but we really like the new writers as well as the seasoned writers, which means you've seen the names before in the BC. And so because of that, we're just going to tell you what you may already know, but to make it that much easier. And I'm going to start out by saying, if any of you had trouble because of writing logistics and everything, a lot of us probably do have voicemail. It would be perfectly acceptable to phone your phone and leave a voicemail for yourself while this is fresh in your mind. if you haven't heard Kathy's guided steps to writing an article before, that will be the first step in enabling you to kind of pick up where you left off and then not have to worry about it, because it'll be waiting for you or retrievable in your voicemail or your recorder, if that's what you do. I'm sorry, Roger? Oh, well, maybe she
I guess I'm committed to writing an article, huh? and I think that it's important. One of the things that I shared at the beginning is that I've actually been writing for the Career Connections corner of the Blind Californian for over 15 years. And all, you know, pretty regularly on a quarterly basis. And I took it over from Mitch Pomerantz. I somehow, you know, volunteered. I don't know, you know, what got me, you know, spurred on to that idea. But I've been doing it ever since. And, you know, there are some quarters where I have a real difficulty coming up with the topic. So I hear you in terms of, you know, if some of you aren't sure what to write about. You know, I think, well, I've wrote about that before. And, you know, I don't know what's new out there. And then I think about, okay, so maybe I wrote about something 5 years ago. People might not have remembered that. Hopefully not. And then I take that, yeah, I'll take that and I'll modify it, you know, and I'll update it and, you know, make some revisions. And then I'll, you know, I'll turn that into a new article. So you can take something that you wrote before and revise it, you know, do an uplift with it. And, you know, and that's okay too.
The update. There you go. Well, just to be really concrete, just to make it that much easier to have a sense of how to get this done in steps or increments, many of you know that our submissions are due to Mike Heathley, and his address is in the front of every BC, his phone number, all of his contact information, his email, and everything. The next due date for submissions happens to be 12/1. Now, I'm not pressuring anyone, oh, it's got to be done by 12/1 or don't do it at all. No, no, no. It's just, we just want you to know. The next one is...
next opportunity.
The next, thank you, Roger, the next opportunity. And if for some reason you missed that opportunity to get it into Mike by 12/1, and I do mean 12/1, he wants them by 12/1. A little inside humor there. The next date for submissions will be 3/1, and so on. It's the first of the month. It's in June, September, December, and March. This is one way to approach it. It's just one way. And I got this from Kathy. So I'm sure it was good there for having a draft ready in 2 weeks. You know, like today is the 23rd, so in 2 weeks, that might be one way to organize yourself to get it going. Otherwise, you're taking steps rather than jumping up the whole mountain and saying, that's too high, I'll never make it. Okay, so you could have the draft, a little goal for yourself to have that done in 2 weeks. Then you might have the goal to have the revised outline, in case you get some other ideas or you see some, that usually happens to me, I need to change some things. You might do that in 3 weeks from today. So 2 weeks from today, next step, 3 weeks from today, and then the finished product could be ready in that way, and you won't be overwhelmed that way. Now, Kathy may want to add something to that.
I have also found that creating an incentive for myself is also works. So I love ice cream. So if I know that I need to write an article or I have a deadline, and this worked great when I was working on my dissertation and had to make certain deadlines, I had to create my own deadlines and make it, I would sit there and I'd say, okay, if I do X, if I have the draft done, then I can have 2 scoops of ice cream today. If I get... And if it was really challenging, then I could have 3 scoops of ice cream. So I used some personal incentive motivation, and I say it's hereditary because my grandmother used to eat 2 half gallons of ice cream per week. I can honestly say I never got to that point, but actually, I don't really have a favorite flavor. I like a variety of flavors. And so those are chocolate and caramel and nuggets and I guess medieval madness is one of my favorites. Ah, okay. And so maybe even writing about your favorite ice cream and what does ice cream mean to you in your life. Why do you think it is the 26.2 miles?
That's a good article. That's a good title. How many scoops?
Yeah.
And so, but my point here is, create incentives for you yourself. If you feel it's going to be a little challenging, it's okay to do that. The other thing that I would like to share is, and this may work for some people, and this might sound a little regimentary for others. If you're thinking that you might be having some difficulties, but you want to do it, identify a time on a regular basis. Once a week for 1 hour. I'm gonna sit down and I'm gonna try to write whatever I can from 7 to 8 p.m. on Thursday night. And make that your routine. And get it, and then if you're getting to that point in time on Thursday night at 7, and you're thinking, oh, I don't want to feel like it tonight, I'm tired, blah, blah, blah. Say to yourself, I'm gonna sit down for the first 5 minutes. And I'm going to try to write something for the first 5 minutes. And then if I'm not able to do something in the first half an hour, if nothing comes to me in the first half an hour, then I can walk away. And what you'll find is that by sitting down and just thinking about it for a 5 minute time period and, and making, and keeping yourself there for half an hour, you're probably going to be into it and you're going to be willing to then continue on for the remainder of the hour and even beyond. But if you start that routine and maybe that first time you only sit there for a half an hour and maybe you just sit and you don't do anything, do it the next week. Sit down at 7 p.m. on Thursday night. If you get into that routine, you're going to actually begin to become more adjusted to it and be willing to do it.
And as we said earlier, whatever works for you, you might have a favorite chair to sit in. It isn't like you're going into a rubber room with absolutely nothing there to stimulate you. Might be your favorite warm drink, sitting there with. Who knows what it might be for you that makes it conducive. So there's a little payoff for you to do that, too. And I really agree with that. I think just the discipline of doing it. And the other thing, we're all different about this. Some people really get ideas when they're running around doing five things. Sometimes that'll happen. But more often it happens when you're, waiting for access or waiting for something or doing some mindless task.
And so what we like to do now is open it up for questions. Does anybody have any questions for us?
I have one quick.
Sure. Yes, it is.
Okay. The question I would have for you is, do you find it helpful with your background in Toastmasters in writing? Are you able to transfer speech making to writing and back and forth?
Definitely. And good for you for bringing up Toastmasters. yes, actually, one of the things that I think it has helped in my writing ability is to think about those openings. What grabs the audience's attention, whether it's a written audience reading or an audience live listening. So what is it that can grab that attention? And then also, I think that writing a speech in some ways is like writing an article. You can use the same basic concepts of, the opening, the supporting information, the conclusion, the title, having a curiosity title or something. So yes, I do see that there is value to an interchangeability between these two areas. And I think when you become a member of Toastmasters, and for those of you that do not know what Toastmasters is, it's a public speaking organization within the communities, and it's across the world. And you are with a group of people who want to learn how to speak more effectively as well. And you go through the basics of how to develop a speech, how to develop a persuasive speech, how to develop a speech that's a storytelling, a humorous speech. There's different aspects, vocal variety, different aspects to the use of words. So different focuses in the speech development, stages that you go through in the Toastmasters program that actually can really help in terms of translating to writing articles and creating very interesting articles as well. So I'd encourage people to consider joining Toastmasters in your local community as well if you're interested in learning more about writing and becoming a more polished speaker. Yes.
I have something that didn't seem to fit quite into any part of the agenda, but I really want to bring it up.
Okay.
Anna and I worked on the revising and improving the description of this hotel. And I don't know whether, I guess it's not in the program, but it's a separate piece that you can add to the registration. We really want to know what you think about it. I'm really interested in the issue of describing.
Mm-hmm.
Whether by writing words down and giving it to you, I can make it easier for you to get around this hotel. Very concrete task. And I'm even interested in the whole concept of description on a more generic basis. The idea of, you know, what can you, like in audio description in theater and so on, what can you do to describe something to take the place of being able to see it? I don't know if any of you got the number of the description from the last 2 years in this hotel, but we think the one we've got that we wrote now, you know, started at a starting point from the one that was there before. We think it's really way improved. Really would like input for feedback.
That's a great point, Roger. And so if everybody can take a look at that and provide feedback to Roger and Donna.
See if you can find the places that it says are in.
It's like a scavenger hunt.
Can you summarize that?
Yes. Okay. Roger says that he and Donna revised the hotel description. So on a separate document that's available at the registration table. Okay, and if you access the web version of the program, it is in the program that was downloadable from the web, or that was on the website, I should say. And so Roger and Donna would like feedback. How is the description that they created? Does it work for you? Is it usable? And they feel that they've improved upon the description that has been there for the hotel previously, and they'd like that feedback. And Roger also says that he's very interested in the idea of audio description or describing things and being able to get a sense of what that visually looks like for others who may not be able to see. And I think that you bring up a very good point, Roger, that we didn't really focus on in terms of the writing about being a descriptive writer. I personally don't feel I'm very good at that. And so part of what my intention was focusing more on where I feel I'm stronger in, as a writer. But there are some great writers who are very descriptive. I'm impressed, really, and wish I could write that well. Well, I think and what I was going to say also is I feel that there are different types of being descriptive writers. The layout of the hotel description that Roger and Donna worked on is more of a technical description versus a more adjective-filled description that creates a feeling. Does that make sense, the differences?
Yes.
Also, the hotel description, one of the important things is it's a layout rather than
Right. And that's part of that technical descriptive writing.
Yeah.
And that actually is, there are people who are hired to be technical writers for different companies. And they have a skill of being able to do it in a certain way of describing that hopefully is usable and useful to individuals. But there is a real talent to that and a real set of population that can do that. What we'd like to, are there any other questions?
Can I just comment?
Yes.
Roger, I just want to thank you and Donna for doing that because before I came to this conference, I've never had a description of hotel layout in a room. And I do training in San Diego for the hotel industry, so I've used our old tapes to train other hotel managers on what to do. So I'm really looking forward. I just can't, I'm excited about something that you think may be better than what was done before.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, great.
And you're welcome.
I'm running around here finding all the corners.
But let us know what worked and let us know what didn't work.
People argue, for example, about whether to use compass directions.
Right.
Oh, God.
We did both.
There are some compass directions.
We did both.
As well as
Yeah.
Interesting. See, I don't know north, south, east, right, when I call
Right. Yeah. Well,
and you have it on audio tape as well?
Well, it depends on what forms they put it out in. I don't know.
I've done it in audio before, so it's probably there.
Yeah, the office should have put it on audio tape, because they said that it would be an insert, with
like
the format.
Supplement to the program.
Right, a supplement to the program, so I'm hoping they did.
And what we like to do to see one of the key things is in terms of Bonnie and I doing this workshop today is we wanted you to walk away having learned something. And so we'd like to do a whip around and find out from each of you what is the takeaway that you have gained from this workshop today. So is it something that you learned? Is it an idea that you have? Hopefully this has given you some good ideas and at least one thing that you can go take away today. And we'd like to hear that. So I'd like to start over with Jacqueline.
Oh, my God.
I learned how to put an article together and how to explain it.
Okay. Yeah,
that's great.
Well, that's great. If you have a better sense of that process now, hopefully that will help you gain some ideas. Mm-hmm. Good. Mike, what did you learn, or what's the takeaway from this workshop today for you?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, Mike.
It's always interesting to listen to new observations and new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that sometimes in my editor's job, I find myself wanting to say to the writer, it's not really just, I have to ask myself, is this my job or not? But I find myself wanting to say to the writer, you need to describe this better.
Mm.
Or you need to do something. You could do just add a couple words to really enrich this article.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I get thanks, and sometimes I get curses.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always interesting to listen to how people are expressing themselves.
Great. Good. So hearing how people express themselves, we heard about the process, liking the creativity and the different ideas that might be good for articles. Jean? Is she...
Mm-hmm. An alarm that I thought I heard.
Oh, it's a
cell phone. Yeah. Sorry, that was me.
So, Jean, what is...
From over outside.
Oh.
What I learned was that I really have to maybe be a little more organized, because usually my writing is free at first and then I go back and I pick out the parts.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I need to be a little more systematic at doing that.
Mm.
For writing an article.
Mm-hmm.
I took a class in journalism in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't write like a reporter, you know. I couldn't get it down. It just wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if I could do that for the CCB, mm-hmm. you know, Blaine, California. And you know, but I think I have a little more courage now to attempt that.
Great.
That's
good.
Wonderful.
So you have more courage now that you have an idea of some ways of taking some of those free-flowing ideas and putting them into an article.
Exactly.
Good. Great. Roger?
So it really is tell them what you're going to tell them, tell them, and then tell them what you told them. it's been fascinating to me what is involved in the process and how different people do it. Types of writing, and this whole concept of the rewrite bit of writing, how we can liberate ourselves as writers to be able to write freely, have that kind of facility of jotting and crossing and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all really interesting to me, as well as the whole issue of description.
So it sounds like a great article topic, Roger, in terms of, you know, how the read-write and the liberating for those of us that are blind and low vision in terms of how we can do that process. So that's an article we can look from you, right? And then also liking to hear about all the variety, what all goes into writing, the process of writing an article and learning more about that is what I heard you say. Bernice?
I like the part about focusing on 3 to 5 main points that you want to make. I tend to ramble, and I think that that's
Okay, great, Bernice. So focusing on 3 to 5 points, and you know, being more concise.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
The conciseness is
important. Yeah. And hopefully it will come with time. Yeah. Donna?
Well, actually, there are a few things that I'm taking away from this. When we were doing, you know, our points, you know, and I also came in late. Actually, Lewis and I came in at the same time. You know, I started, you know, a concept of an article. And then as we started going into the process, I jumped over to critiquing my sailing article. And so, you know, thinking, okay, did I do this and that? Did I do this and that? I guess that's just my nature. But I think the good thing, several of the good things are that I've learned that part of my hesitation to put anything out publicly has been, you know, the fact of, you know, going back to, you know, when I was little, that you needed to have the whole thing in your head first and then write it perfectly. Because you didn't have the things that you have now, like the word processor or, you know, different things like that. So, yeah, going back to that, you know, not being able to edit because of the vision impairment. So, you know, I learned that it's okay to go ahead and let everything flow the first time and then, you know, go back in and toss paper if you have to or, you know, whatever. You know, so that's a good thing. So, and breaking it up into concepts, I think what I'll probably do is, you know, write things out, just let it flow through my fingers, and then go back and see if it fits, you know, are the three supporting points there, are how's the title, you know. I come up with my title always after, you know, the whole thing is written. It's okay to do it that way. It's okay not to finish an idea that you get. If you get to a block, you can put it aside if something else comes to you, and it will always be right there later.
Oh, great. So to summarize, you kind of are taking away the idea that you don't have to have it perfect in your head before putting it onto paper, that you can come up with an idea and kind of let your fingers do the walking and, you know, and put it out there. But it's okay, you know, and then when you go back, it's okay that if you make changes, if you make revisions, and even the idea of if it starts off as a main idea and then three supporting ideas, and one of those supporting ideas becomes your main idea, that it's okay. And it's okay that if, you know, you get to a block and you put it aside for, you know, a while and then go back over time, that's okay too. I think sometimes we create our own blocks or hesitations, and part of that is getting past that and what can we do to move forward with that. And you also brought up a good, you know, another good idea, Donna, in terms of you have an article out there already and going back and then looking at that and saying, I wonder, what did I follow here in this process and what did I not, and maybe where could I improve or enhance? And it might give you some ideas of how to build upon the next time you write as well. Great. Thank you. Lewis?
Well, I think of several things, but the thing that stands out is the idea of challenging yourself to set up goals in the form of deadlines. But the first draft in 2 weeks, I forget exactly what you said, but you did tell me that in 2 weeks you're going to accomplish this much. And then in 3 weeks you're going to accomplish this much. I think it helps to put you into a more time management zone. And that can actually, because I got a lot of stuff that I started and never finished. And the other thing was motivation aspects of, you know, giving yourself an ice cream.
You like that part, huh?
I like that idea, too. I'd like to get some collaboration on an article called Which Tastes Better?
Oh,
Sugar-Free.
Regular, no doubt.
Lots of collaboration, I'll bet.
Okay. So Lewis is talking about how having the goals, the deadlines, can be helpful in following through on finishing an article that we develop. So we might have a great idea. We might sit down. The juices are flowing. We're writing. And then, you know, oh, I'll put it aside. Something else has come up, another idea, or, you know, some other activities, and don't necessarily get to that finishing point. And so creating those deadlines and a regular routine can help in terms of reaching reaching those goals of finishing, as well as the motivation piece of what's the incentive, ice cream or something else, to be able to finish that goal, that topic.
The third and final thing was that your title doesn't have to be set in cement.
That's true, too. Your title does not have to be set in cement. It doesn't have to be set in cement until you put it on, you submit it.
I should remember that because I read a story that said that the power of positive thinking was not the original title of the book.
Ah. So Lewis was just saying that the power of positive thinking, the book title, was not the original title of the book. And it could have been the publisher went back and suggested that title after reading it. We appreciate your attendance today at the writing workshop. We appreciate how all of you were engaged and contributed to this process. Hopefully, this has been a meaningful experience for you in terms of the rich discussion that we had. And hopefully, this will help inspire you to be a more effective writer. And we'll be able to see some more articles for the Blind Californian, as well as in hearing about other articles that you're producing for your local community activities as well. So thank you.